WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We remind everybody, set us on your dial somewhere out there, one of those 6 or 12 or 18 channels somewhere out there next to B104 and WLPL. Oh, they're gone. But we're 1570 on your dial, but make us number one on your little selection there. All of our programming this week brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have these instant lottery scratch-offs. We'll be giving these away on Thursday morning at Fadley's. I got my Fadley's gear on. It might be the last time we're in the old market because they're about to go into the new market. I've seen it with my own eyes. We'll be there on Thursday morning. We had a great time at Spirits West with our friends at Window Nation last week with Chad Wiesling, with Chris Pica, with Rick Kehoe, talking some old school softball, talking about the neighborhood, talking about St. Joe, and talking about the history of Baltimore rock and roll and the Kix band and Child's Play and all that stuff, as well as Josh Jacobs and the running back situation. Luke Jones is here now. We're not going to talk about the J.K. Dobbins situation, although I did talk to Chad Wiesling about that for a little while, and he understands he's working for J.K. Dobbins and every other running back out there. But on the baseball side, we've got the Orioles home all week. You're about to go eat pizza and get yourself tanned up and your whole family down at the beach. Everybody's headed to the beach. The Reds are in town. They have this sensation. And we don't play the Reds very much, 1970 notwithstanding. And the Orioles have called up another player, and a player who's sort of waited in line and bumping his head and like all that stuff. We talk about guys scuffling here. We talk about Aaron Hicks a little bit. We talk about them winning series and doing nothing but winning. But this pipeline, I mean, there's going to be a Colton Cowser moment. There's going to be a Jackson Holliday moment, the same way there was a Matt Wieters moment, the same way there was an Adley Rutschman moment. But when I get texts from you on the WNST text service brought to you by Coons Baltimore Ford, I'm always, you know, we were waiting on stars, but now they have a pipeline that once a month they're going to be making you send a text out, and we hope that it's not a Ken Gerhardt situation. We hope that when they come up, they stay up, right?
Right. I mean, think about it. Where we were 13 months ago at this point in time, which is right around when Adley Rutschman was promoted to the majors. At that point in time, yes, the Orioles had shown signs that they were better than they were the year before. They had been more competitive, but they still were not good. They were below 500. You know, still a team that felt like they were a ways away at that point in time. So when Adley Rutschman arrived, and he's a special case, right? He was the face of the rebuild. He was the first pick Mike Elias ever made, 1-1, all that. But it was all about hope. It was all about the future, right? Now we're at a point, we saw this with Gunnar Henderson when he was called up late last year and the Orioles were in wild card contention. We're at a point now, whenever someone arrives in the majors, yes, there's still that excitement of, hey, it's cool. It's a kid making his major league debut. It's a kid we've heard about in the minor leagues the last couple of years. But in the case of Jordan Westberg, who has done everything you possibly could ask. I mean, this is a kid who had over 700 plate appearances at AAA Norfolk dating back to last June and had 81 extra base hits over that period of time. He couldn't do anything else to justify a call up to the major league. So when he arrives, yes, there's that excitement, but the bigger question is not hope for the future. The question is, can Jordan Westberg make the 2023 Orioles right now and over the course of the next 3.5 months a better ball club? And I think that's what we're going to find out here. So with Jordan Westberg being called up, we're talking about someone who is a little bit older. He's 24, was a 2020 30th overall pick, end of the first round. You know, they kind of have that competitive balance, A, B, whatever, however they distinguish the round.
That's a high ceiling
overall pick,
right? That's a serious player.
Yeah.
That's a prospect.
Yeah. I mean, this is someone they loved coming out of Mississippi State. He really, I mean, beyond the fact that he was an early pick, when he really opened some eyes, it was that fall. Keep in mind, 2020 was the COVID year. There was no minor league season. He didn't get to play a partial season of pro ball. But that fall in Sarasota, they did have their instructional league. And that was when he really opened some eyes where they said, hey, this kid has a bat that could really play in a couple years. So there was a lot of excitement about him. And all he did in 2021 and 22 and 23 is hit. And he hits for power. He does have a little bit of swing and miss, as most players do in the modern game. But he moves around. He's played a lot of third. He's played a lot of shortstop. He's played some second. This year, he's even played some corner outfield. So I am going to be fascinated to see how Brandon Hyde deploys him on a nightly basis, because you have him. You have Gunnar Henderson who can play third or short. You have some other guys on this current roster who can move around. But in the case of Jordan Westberg, it was time, right? I mean, he's been a consensus, you know, going into the year, he's a consensus top 100 prospect, whether you talk about Baseball America, Baseball Perspective, or Prospectus, MLB Pipeline. You know, well, every single outlet had him in their top 100, and he's been one of the Orioles' very best prospects, you know, going back to early last year. I mean, he's someone that I thought had a chance to be called up late last year because of his age and because of the success he had at Norfolk. But, you know, they were patient with him, even too patient in some people's minds. You know, it was one reason I wasn't a big Adam Frazier signing fan over the winter was, you have Jordan Westberg, who feels like he's really, really close to being ready. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. You never really know. And, you know, Kyle Stowers was an example of this last year. He put up big numbers at AAA. And to this point, you know, and he's hurt right now down in the minor league, so he's not playing. But to this point, it hasn't panned out for him. So you never know. The International League is not the same as the majors. And that's not to say that Jordan Westberg is going to come up and just rake from day one. But boy, you like the profile and you like what he can do. You like the positional versatility. You know, he's not as highly regarded defensively as, say, a Joey Ortiz or Jorge Mateo. But you know, I think there's a confidence that he can be a really solid defender. And I think he's someone who has power to all fields, who, you know, not going to say he's going to be a 35 home run guy or anything crazy like that. But I think he's going to hit for some power. And I think he's someone who can absolutely beef up their middle infield a production situation, whether it's him playing one of those positions or whether it's him playing third and maybe playing Gunnar Henderson at shortstop a little bit more, because we've talked about Mateo's struggles at the plate. So it was time.
When Buck Showalter talks about pile divers back in the day, this is one of those pipeline guys that in Elias's mind, when we're good, he'll be a part of this, right? When we're good, 2 years ago, you're thinking about this. When we're good, he'll be a part of it. Well, they're good, and he hasn't been a part of it at all. And now he's going to, you know, pick up a bat, so to speak, and be a part of this in the same way that at some point Cowser's going to be a part of this. And Stowers, I don't know. Maybe he's not good enough, but these other guys are thought to be – most people think Jordan Westbrook's going to be a major league player for the next 10 years, right? Like, he's on that pipeline of once he's here – he's not a might be. They think he's a major league baseball, but he's only 24 years old. You act like that's a sin. It's crazy. Some of these guys come up at 20, 21. 24 is not a sin.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I guess my point was, he's not like Gunnar Henderson in the standpoint where you're talking about someone who's really, really young, right? He wasn't a high school draft pick. He came out of college at Mississippi State. So, but we've talked about it, and I mentioned this a little bit, you know, a couple minutes ago, but all of these players that came through the system with 2020, with the COVID year, where you just had a minor league season that was just wiped out, other than a select few who got to be at the alternate training site in Bowie that summer. So it's a really unique development experience for some of these guys. In the case of Westberg, you know, he was a college player, so a little bit further along, but they certainly still took their time with him. I mean, again, he had over 700 plate appearances at AAA, and I thought he could have been in the majors late last year, you know, at least gotten an opportunity at that point in time, but they brought up Gunnar Henderson and that was fine. You know, I would have liked to see both of them, quite frankly, but you know, we're going to find out. You never really know. And again, this isn't someone who's regarded in the same way of an Adley Rutschman, a Gunnar Henderson, how Jackson Holliday has kind of, you know, jockeying to be the number one prospect in baseball already, you know, at 19 years old, which just speaks to his incredible ceiling. So Westberg doesn't necessarily have that kind of ceiling, but again, all he's done is hit and produce. I mean, go look, he's got 60 career home runs in the minors. I mean, he had a 939 OPS at AAA this year, 18 home runs. I mean, lots of doubles. As I said, he can move around the diamond. So I think you have some options as far as where you play him and getting his bat in the lineup. So, you know, the plan is he's going to play. You don't call him up to sit on the bench. So he's going to play, and it's going to be probably, it's going to mean fewer at bats for Mateo one way or the other, probably fewer at bats for Adam Frazier one way or the other. And look, if you're not going to produce, this team has a farm system where you can be replaced, or you can at least be, you know, your role will shift a little bit. And I think, don't view that as a negative for those, you know, maybe for those guys individually, it's a negative, but for the Orioles themselves, if you can then bringing Adam Frazier off the bench late in a game, who's a high contact kind of hitter in a situation, or Jorge Mateo coming off the bench to be a pinch runner or a late game defensive replacement. You've just made your bench better too. So there are moving parts to this. There are lots of tentacles to this. Whenever you call up someone like this, who you're hoping is going to make you better. And we'll see, you know, we'll see how it plays out. And Westbrook could struggle just to, in the way that every young player is going to struggle at some point in time. But I think there's a lot of excitement here. And this is someone that's been talked about for a couple of years. Like I said, that fall instructional league down in Sarasota in 2020, they were kind of him and Gunnar Henderson both really, you know, there were some people in the organization that said, wow, we might have something with these guys that's even more than we thought when we drafted them. So we'll see how it plays out. And like I said, he does have some swing and miss. So it's not to say that he won't struggle, but I think, again, you see the numbers at Norfolk. And I think it sends a good message to everyone in your system, whether you're the number one prospect or whether you're someone that's a little more fringe-like, where you just say, hey, you go through every level, you graduate Aberdeen, you graduate from Bowie, you graduate at Norfolk, you're going to get an opportunity here. Even with the club being good, you're still going to get an opportunity here. Even with a team that's a top five record in baseball, as the Orioles have right now, you're going to get an opportunity. So I think that just sends a great message to everyone down below. And again, you're hoping that Jordan Westbrook comes here and maybe not immediately, but over in the coming weeks, makes you a better ball club. I mean, that's the idea, right? So I think there's a lot of excitement for his arrival. And I think there are definitely some expectations that he can help their infield offense, which, let's face it, other than Gunnar Henderson, and you know, not talking first base, but third, shortstop, second base, other than Henderson, they've been lacking in that department offensively. So if Westbrook can be added to the mix here and beef that up, it's just going to make you better here over the next 3.5 months.
With these young players, they come up for all these guys that strike out a lot. I don't even know how to judge them when they strike out a lot, as long as they're hitting the ball a little bit. And that goes for Mountcastle. That goes for Henderson. That goes for any of these guys that feel a little slumpy. Not necessarily Dave Kingman-y, because if Jordan Westbrook comes up and is Dave Kingman-y, that would be against his bloodline of everything he's done in the minors, right? Like, he's going to strike out, but he's also going to hit 275, 280. He's going to hit some bombs. He's going to drive in runs. He's going to hit doubles. He's going to do all of that. But the question is he going to hit a buck 80 when he comes up the first month? Because the first 100 at-bats are going to be different than International League pitching or double-A, you know, where he's been. But to see, pitch selection won't be there. He's going to strike out, but it's just a matter of contact and how it goes, and probably how they use him a little bit too, because they didn't bring him up to use him 3 days a week, right? Like, he's going to be in the lineup all week, I would think. If they're bringing him up, they're going to make room for him, and we'll judge him a couple weeks from now. But when these young players come up, the first thing you start looking is pitch selection. You know, are they putting the ball in play at all? Do they look overmatched? All of that. And that would be the case with a 100-loss team when you bring somebody up. Man, you come up into this team, it's different coming up and you're in a pennant race now. I think for all the guys that come up now, there's a different level of how long can we live with you not looking like a major leaguer if you don't look like a major leaguer when you come up before we hurt your feelings and send you down.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, that's part of it. And I've talked about this with you. I've talked about this with Dennis as well in our different conversations about the Orioles, but they're really at a point now. And I've even, you know, talking to some members of the organization where, when you're talking about these prospects, it's not like it was before, right? Where you had so many placeholders on the major league roster. I mean, so many guys that were quad A players or washed out, guys who never were. I mean, you just had that. So as soon as you had someone theoretically who was ready, quote unquote, at AAA Norfolk, you brought them up, right? I mean, that's just the way it was. There was plenty of room for them. The difference now, and this is where Kyle Stowers ran into some trouble, just to use him as an example, and I'm not trying to bury the kid, and you know, he's hurt right now at Norfolk, and maybe we'll see him again at some point. You never know what's going to happen. But there was an example where if you're evaluating a prospect at Norfolk, now the question is much more, how does he compare to who we have in that position at the major league level? And in the case of Stowers, he ran into the problem because it's you asked a very simple question. Is he better than Anthony Santander in right field? No. Is he better than Austin Hayes in left field offensively, or more specifically, which is much more of a challenge now with the big left field in Camden Yards, where you basically need two center fielders in your outfield to cover that ground. Is he better than Austin Hayes? It was a no. So then it becomes, all right, is he going to be a DH? You know, or, you know, can you put Santander there? I mean, and it just came out to it that he, in their eyes, and look, I think he could have gotten more at bats, more regular at bats to see it play out. And I certainly expect them to play Westberg, if not every day, most days at the very least. And like I said, he can move around a little bit. You can spell some guys here and there and work that out if you want to. But it comes down to, do we think this kid coming up has the chance to be right now, if not right now, very, very soon, once he's acclimated, to be an upgrade over what we have? And in the case of where the Orioles have been with Mateo for a while now, and where they've been with Frazier in the month of June, when you look at his numbers and he's, you know, he has a sub 300 on base percentage at this point, the answer is yes. At the very least, you want to find out, right? You have
we can be better. We can be better. Right. Okay.
Exactly. So I think that's how you're looking at these prospects right now. And that's where it is a little more complicated. And let's be clear. That's a good problem to have. That's a good problem to have. Too many players, so to speak. And they'll do the same thing with Colton Cowser. That's why Aaron Hicks being as good as he's been and being such a pleasant surprise for them has probably, you know, it's delayed Cowser's path to a major league spot, at least for a little while. And again, if Hicks goes 3 for his next 40, then he probably won't be here much longer after that, you know, because that's just the way it's going to work. But in the case of Westberg, look, he couldn't do any more than he did at Norfolk and say, all right, you got to see if this kid, even if he fails at the major league level, you got to find out, because he's been that good for that long at Norfolk. And, you know, you asked the question about the swing and miss. For me, I don't mind strikeouts to a degree, right? You know, we're not talking wanting to see someone strike out at a Chris Davis like level, but swing and miss is okay for me if it's accompanied by power. If it's accompanied by an ability to draw some walks, and that's where Ryan Mountcastle has really run into a lot of trouble, because he just doesn't walk at all. So unless he's red hot, just crushing the ball, his value is really limited in that way offensively. But in the case of Westberg, you know, he does have some swing and miss. He struck out 147 times last year. He has cut down on the strikeouts some this year when you look at it.
And that's striking 16- out on minor league pitching too.
It is. And keep it, but keep in mind that so much of that is, look, how do I say this? I'm not trying to be flippant about strikeouts, but the reality is in the modern game, and we've seen this with even with the shift having gone away, but we see how much power, high velocity pitching there is, that the idea is, yes, there are times where you just want to make contact, but there are other times where you want to have the contact to damage ratio be in line where, yeah, you are swinging to drive the ball. And the Orioles, their mentality from an offense standpoint in the minor leagues is they want their hitters with a mentality to not just hit a soft line drive, but their mentality is to hit the ball off the field wall. You know, that's what they're looking for. A line drive to the gap. That's what they're looking for, philosophically speaking. So in the case of Westberg, yeah, he's going to strike out some. There's no doubt about it. He's not going to, you know, he's not an Adley Rutschman level or Gunnar Henderson level of walking, but he'll take his walks. You know, he's not, I don't think he's Mountcastle either. So somewhere in between those two extremes. But, you know, what you're hoping to see is, I mean, this kid has 35 extra base hits this year already, you know, in less than, you know, roughly half a season in the minor leagues. So, you know, how's that going to play? You know, is he going to be able to get over the big wall in left field a little bit? Is he going to be able to drive the ball to left center and right center? I mean, this is someone who's shown an ability to hit the ball with power in every direction. So, you know, we're going to see how it plays out. Again, I'm not saying Jordan Westberg's a future all-star, but I think he's got a bat that can help them. And I think he's got enough positional versatility that he can move around a little bit for you, depending on your need, and be that kind of player for you as well. I think it'll be, you know, it's been interesting to see him play a little more outfield this year down in Norfolk. So
who's going to be the guy
that could be
in the short
could be something
term
we see at some point? But
is Frazier,
you know,
some bats this week?
Their infield's been lacking. I I think those two are going to be the guys that you're going to see getting fewer at bats at this point, because, you know, whether it's Westberg playing third, Gunnar Henderson playing short, Westberg can play short. I don't think that's his best position, but certainly can play there. Westberg, even though he hasn't played as much second base this year as we saw last year, he can play there as well. So I think you're going to see guys, you know, you're going to see a little bit of a rotate, a little more of a rotation, which I'm fine with. For me, it was becoming untenable to just say Mateo and you know, Mateo and Adam Frazier are playing every single day. You know, you can't have two guys struggling to that degree offensively in your lineup every night. You know, it's just not going to work. So I think you'll see some flexibility, and it's part of how the Orioles have done it. All their infielders, you know, save for maybe Jackson Holliday being the exception, all their infield prospects, they've all moved around. You know, that Gunnar played third base and shortstop. You know, Westberg's played third, short, and second. Joey Ortiz has played shortstop and second base and also a little bit of third. So all these guys, you know, they've really preached trying to be as versatile as possible. So we're going to see how it plays out, but I don't think this is just going to be, they plug him into one spot and that's that. And one guy is suddenly benched. I think you're going to see, and we've seen it a little bit here recently. We've seen Gunnar Henderson make a few more starts at shortstop of late. And Urias has been in the mix since coming back from the IL, of course. So, you know, I think you'll continue to see that. I just think you're going to see Jordan Westberg have a heavy presence in that mix, as he should. The worst thing they could possibly do, and frankly, they did this with Joey Ortiz, and it irritated me a little bit because, you know, I wanted to see him get an opportunity, but the worst thing you can do is bring up Jordan Westberg and he only plays 2 or 3 days a week. You know, this is a guy who, for the time being, until he shows you that he can't handle it for an extended period of time, he should be playing just about every day. You know, I'm not saying every single game, but he should be playing most games because I think he has the kind of bat that has the potential to play and really help this lineup.
Well, we got a new Oriole in the fold, Jordan Westberg. If you're on the WNST tech service, brought to you by Coons Baltimore Ford, you got it first over the weekend. Luke will be at the ballpark all week. The Reds bring in a sensation. And really, they've been a bit of a sensation in Cincinnati the last couple of weeks, selling a lot of tickets. People are coming back to the games. Luke and I talked at length about bringing people back to Orioles games. Had a great conversation at Spirits West with Chad Wiesling, local NFL agent, about Josh Jacobs, his running back with the Las Vegas Raiders, as well as Chris Pica joined us to talk some Mount St. Joe. So lots and lots of stuff on the air here this week. Luke's going to be vacationing at some point. We got the 4th of July. I'm going to be having our friends from Wise Markets on this week, having a Wise conversation in regard to Heritage Fair this weekend. So if you're from Dundalk, you're from the east side this weekend, doing the Heritage Fair a little bit early this weekend. I'll stay away from the country note on Saturday, but I'll be there on Friday and Sunday down in Dundalk as well. So big appreciation to our friends at Wise Markets for putting that together. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Thursday morning at Fadley's to celebrate the 4th of July, talking crab cakes, probably some oysters before it's all over, probably some shrimp salad because it's delicious down there. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away these instant lottery scratch-offs, as I did on Wilkins Avenue at Spirits West with Rick Kehoe and the group the other day. And our friends at Window Nation with the wacky floppy hat that I dig. The Orioles give a floppy hat away, but I'm going to be wearing my blue Window Nation hat. 866-90-NATION. You call them, get your windows here this summer. You buy two, you get two free. 2 years of 0% financing. I'm about 10 months into my windows now. Very, very pleased. I've had a couple friends buy some windows from Window Nation, and they're pleased as well. So get on it if you need windows. I had 40-year-old windows. This time last year, they weren't opening. Awful, dusty, terrible. Screens were awful. It wasn't keeping the air out right. 866-90-NATION. Window Nation is there for you. Luke will be at the ballpark there for you. He's out on Instagram and Facebook, and we're out on Twitter. We're all these places that social media travel this week. Getting a little rock and roll in, too, down at Merriweather. Little Shania Twain and little Dave Matthews this week and The Cure. So big, big doings here this summer as the Ravens take a little time away. They take a little nap for the next month. Luke will be there to cover all that as we rev up the engines for the purple season as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.